Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, September 10th, and coming up in today's episode, high-stakes inheritance dispute over Rs. 30,000 crore Sanjay Kapoor estate lands in Delhi High Court. Madras High Court rejects PIL seeking ECI clarification on voter roll tampering claims by Rahul Gandhi and fines the petitioner Rs. 1 lakh. Nepal Army urges calm after violent protests kill 19 and forces PM Oli's government out, and nearly 200 arrested as French protesters set fires and block roads targeting the new Prime Minister. The Delhi High Court on Wednesday issued notice in a high-profile inheritance case involving the late industrialist Sanjay Kapoor's Rs. 30,000 crore estate. Following a civil suit filed by his two children, Samaira and Kian Raj Kapoor, the children of Bollywood actor Karisma Kapoor, who is also Sanjay Kapoor's ex-wife. Presiding over the matter, Justice Jyoti Singh directed summon to be issued to all defendants and sought written responses within 2 weeks. Replications, if any, are to be filed within 1 week. The court also took up the request for interim relief, issuing notice and scheduling the next hearing for October 9th. Importantly, the court has ordered defendant number 1, Priya Sachdev Kapoor, who is Sanjay Kapoor's widow and his last wife, to submit a complete list of all movable as well as immovable assets of the deceased as of June 12th, the day he died in Windsor, UK. Quote, once I register the suit, the doctrine of lists will apply, Justice Singh remarked, referring to the legal principle that prevents parties from altering their positions once litigation is underway. The plaintiffs, represented by senior advocate Mahesh Jethmalani, have alleged that Priya Kapoor forged a will to wrongfully claim control over their father's personal estate. The will, dated March 21, 2025, is said to have been read hastily at a family meeting held at Taj Mansingh Hotel in Delhi over a month after Sanjay's death. Advocate Jethmalani argued that the will had not been disclosed earlier, remains unregistered, and was presented under suspicious circumstances, as noted by Karishma Kapoor's children in their affidavit. He noted that even the named executor admitted to learning about the will only a day prior to the meeting, and that it was brought to light by family employee, not the family or the legal representatives. On behalf of Priya Kapoor, senior advocate Rajiv Nair questioned the maintainability of the suit, asserting that the children had already received Rs. 1900 crore worth of assets under the RK Family Trust. Quote, they were not abandoned. I am a widow with a six-year-old child. For 15 years, they were nowhere to be seen, Nair told the court on behalf of Sanjay Kapoor's widow. He confirmed the will's existence and presented to the judge, offering to share it with the plaintiffs under a non-disclosure agreement. Appearing through senior advocate Vaibhav Kakkar, Sanjay Kapoor's mother Rani Kapoor also objected, saying there's something unholy going on. She expressed concern about her own vested interest in the trust, which she claimed has been diminished following Priya's marriage to her late son. She also flagged the unauthorized sale of Sona Comstar shares worth Rs. 500 crore to a Singapore-based entity without her knowledge. The children have sought a partition of the estate, a arranging of accounts, and an injunction against the defendants, the children being Karishma Kapoor's children. They maintain that they were close to their father and he had assured them of financial security, promises they say were disregarded after his death. As the legal saga unfolds, the courtroom is now set to be the stage for a drama that echoes the sentimentality of a daily soap opera or a dramatic movie. Except this one is real, with billions on the line and no script in sight. The Madras High Court has dismissed a public interest litigation or PIL that called for the Election Commission of India or ECI to respond to allegations of electoral roll tampering during 2024 Lok Sabha elections as alleged by opposition parties in the run-up to Bihar election. The petition specifically refers to the public claims made by leader of the opposition in Lok Sabha, Rahul Gandhi, and Bharatiya Janata Party MP Anurag Thakur, both of whom had raised concerns about irregularities in voter lists. The petitioner sought a directive for the ECI to officially clarify or respond to those claims. However, a division bench of Chief Justice Sanjay V. Gangapurwala and Justice P.D. Odikesavalu found that the plea to be lacking in merit. The judges stated that the petition was completely misconceived and had no substantial evidence to support the allegations. Quote, "The petition as it stands is weak and lacks necessary details. No such direction to clarify its position can be given to the Election Commission," the bench observed, adding that the case was based largely on political statements made during press events. The court emphasized that it was not ruling on the truth of these allegations themselves, only the lack of legal grounds to compel the ECI to respond. It also noted that the Election Commission remains free to take any action it deems appropriate regarding the issues raised. As a result, the bench has now imposed a cost of Rs. 1 lakh on the petitioner for misusing the PIL mechanism, directing that the right amount to be paid to the Tamil Nadu State Legal Services Authority. The matter has drawn attention in recent weeks after Rahul Gandhi accused the ECI of quote-unquote colluding with the Bharatiya Janata Party to manipulate over 1 lakh votes in the Mahadevpura Assembly segment of Bangalore Central. He cited a six-month investigation by a 40-member Congress team that reportedly found duplicate vote entries, false addresses and a fraudulent application systems. In response, BJP MP Anurag Thakur led a press conference accusing the Congress and its allies of benefiting from voter fraud in seats like Raebareli, Wayanad, Diamond Harbour and Kannauj. All of these seats were won by a large difference of votes by respectively Rahul Gandhi, Priyanka Gandhi Vadra, Abhishek Banerjee and Akhilesh Yadav. He demanded that Rahul Gandhi, Priyanka Gandhi Vadra, Akhilesh Yadav and Abhishek Banerjee therefore resign from parliament, accusing them of winning through vote chori. With the court's dismissal, the PIL has now reached its end. However, the Election Commission is under no obligation to respond. It may still choose to investigate the claims independently. But the claims of vote chori are definitely going to be a battle cry during the run-up to Bihar elections, with each party accusing the other of manipulating the voters. Nepal's Army Chief General Ashok Raj Sigdel has called for calm and dialogue as the country faces deepening crisis following violent protests that led to the resignation of Prime Minister KP Sharma Oli and has left the country burning in flames, from the Sansad Bhavan or the Parliament to the Supreme Court to private hotels. Everything is on fire. In a televised address on Tuesday night, General Sigdel appealed to demonstrators to stop all protest activities and engage in talks to restore peace. Quote, "We appeal to the protesting group to halt protest programs and come forward for dialogue for a peaceful way out for the nation." He added that we need to normalize the present difficult situation and protect our historical and national heritage, as well as public and private property. The general, who became Chief of Army Staff last year, expressed condolences over the loss of life and the destruction caused during the unrest, which began on September 8, notably 19 people. Gen Z, student-age people were killed after the police and army deployed various methods to stop the protesters who were breaching the parliamentary security and taking over the streets of Kathmandu. Quote, "The Nepal Army has always remained committed, even in difficult circumstances, to safeguard Nepal's independence, sovereignty, national unity and the security of the Nepali people," the general said. A nationwide curfew has been enforced and the army has taken control of key sites, including Kathmandu Airport and the government's main administrative complex, Singh Darbar. Border crossings have also been sealed. Essential service vehicles such as ambulances and hearses are allowed to operate, though. The army issued a separate statement warning of strict action against anyone found involved in violence, looting or attacks. Quote, "Some groups are taking undue advantage of the difficult situation and causing severe damage to ordinary citizens and public property. the statement said. It also referred to various reports of attempted rape and targeted violence carried out in the name of the movement. Nepal erupted in protest after a controversial social media ban triggered by widespread anger, according to particularly among youth-led groups identified as Gen Z. The demonstrations escalated quickly into broader anti-government protests over corruption, nepotism, and economic inequality. At least 90 protesters were killed during the police crackdown, sparking national outrage. Over 350 were injured. Protesters accused leaders of living in luxury while citizens struggle with basic needs in the small neighboring country. Prime Minister Oli, who initially resisted stepping down, resigned on Monday after repeated calls for his exit and refusal by protesters to engage in talks with him. President Ramchandra Paudel has urged all sides to maintain peace and is expected to meet a delegation of protesters today. The demands raised by citizens can be addressed through dialogue and negotiations, the president has said. Hundred were arrested as Block Everything protests erupted across France on Wednesday as demonstrators blocked roads, set fires and clashed with the police, just one day after President Emmanuel Macron appointed a new prime minister. According to the Associated Press, the unrest appears to be a coordinated effort to pressure the government following the collapse of Prime Minister François Bayrou's administration earlier this week. The protests were organized under the banner Bloc-on-Tour or Block Everything, a movement that gained traction over the summer through social media and encrypted platforms, reportedly. Despite failing to completely paralyze the country as intended, the demonstrations caused significant disruption in several cities. Interestingly enough, it was initially thought to be a right-leaning movement, but now has been taken over by left and far-left leaning groups. The French Interior Ministry confirmed nearly 200 arrests in the early hours of the nationwide protest. Interior Minister Bruno Retailleau told AP, news agency AP, that a bus had been set alight in Rennes and that damage to a power line in Southwest has disrupted train services. Retailleau accused protesters of trying to create a climate of insurrection. In Paris, groups of protesters attempted to block the city's ring road during the busy morning commute. According to AP, demonstrators hurled projectiles at officers, erected barricades and slowed down traffic. Police responded with tear gas and made swift arrests, reportedly supported by a massive deployment of 80,000 security personnel across the country. Though smaller in scale than previous waves of unrest during Macron's presidency, the demonstrations revived memories of the Yellow Vest protests that marked his first term. Those protests, which began as opposition to fuel tax hikes, quickly broadened into nationwide anger over inequality and government policy. The Block Everything campaign has similarly broad demands, many centered on public anger towards austerity measures proposed by Bayrou's government before its collapse. News agency AP noted that the movement does not have a clear leadership structure, making it harder to control, contain, or even negotiate. Sébastien Lecornu, appointed by President Macron on Tuesday as the new prime minister, now faces an immediate political and public challenge. The unrest comes at a time of renewed instability for Macron's administration following multiple waves of public discontent in recent years, including protests over pension reform and widespread riots in 2023 after a fatal police shooting of a teenager near Paris. President Macron has yet to issue a public response to the latest protests, but this is just a continuing in a long line of protests that has ended up, in fact, toppling governments across the globe, from Bangladesh, actually starting with Sri Lanka over 2 years ago, then Bangladesh and Nepal, all of which saw huge protests driven by the public. They were neither right-leaning nor left-leaning particularly, but they were just anti-government policy protests in general if we look at the larger picture. And now France is facing the same. That's all for today. You are listening to The News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to The News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.